Morning. As Matt said, this should have been an all-age service, but then our all-age team all scarpered, and so we've had to change our plans. So we're interrupting our series on Mark's Gospel, and we've got a one-off today, which I've entitled, Would You Like to Come Around for a Crisp Sandwich? And it is A Christian's Guide to Hospitality. It's not the definitive, it's not including everything, because it's a huge subject, but it's some thoughts to get us going. The reason for the title will hopefully become clear as we go along. So, a bit of congregational participation before we start. I'd like you to share with somebody near to you either an example when you experience great hospitality or a time when you experience poor hospitality. And I've said no names, please. We're not naming and shaming, okay? Just to see if you can remember, okay, either a good example or a poor example. Just with somebody near you, you might need to move, okay? Just 2 minutes to chat and share your experiences. Off you go. Always lovely to hear the murmur of chat. So just out of interest, can I have a show of hands? Who amongst you talked about a good experience? Oh, that's positive. How many of you spoke about a poor experience? Oh dear. Don't take it personally. I'm sure it's not personal. Well, that's encouraging that we've all got good experiences, which goes to show that actually hospitality is really important. I've had a bit of time to think about this, and I'm just going to share a few of my experiences. I'll leave you to work out whether they're great ones or poor ones. I can remember in our 2 churches ago, our pastor would regularly invite about 20 people back to lunch every Sunday. And we were always welcomed into his home, and it was good for those people who might have been on their own because they always had a place to come. So that's one of my examples that made an impact on me. Steve told me about a time when he visited somebody in our previous church, and he turned up and the guy said to him, shame you weren't here 15 minutes ago. We've just had our cup of tea. Which is perhaps not such a great example of hospitality. Genuinely happened. Also, another example where in our previous church, an elderly lady invited me around when we first moved to Burnham, invited me to her home for tea and cake so we could try and get to know each other. Great hospitality. And then there was a time when we visited a church on holiday where we sat there and we saw how warmly everybody cared for one another, lots of hugging, very loving fellowship, but nobody spoke to us. I don't know if you've ever had that experience when you're on holiday. But anyhow, Paul in Romans 12 tells us not to conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that principle applies to all areas of our Christian lives, doesn't it? Including hospitality. And this morning, we need to think about whether we are moulded by our culture or by the Bible. How much does our culture influence our own experience and our own practice of hospitality? Do we need to maybe reshape it in the light of what the Bible says? So first of all, we need a definition of hospitality. And the dictionary says that it is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Now, interestingly, the word hospitality itself doesn't actually appear in the Old Testament, although the practice does an awful lot, and you might have read some experiences of Old Testament hospitality. But in the New Testament, the actual word itself is used. And here are 3 examples. And you'll see in these examples that the writer is saying these were instances where hospitality happened and it was really good. So they showed us generous hospitality. Gaius, whose hospitality I enjoy, and then Paul writing to Timothy, good deeds such as showing hospitality. So here in these 3 examples, hospitality is commended. People have shown hospitality, and the person who's writing it has said, this was really good that this happened. So you could read those verses and thinking, that's great. Hospitality is a good thing. Some people are really good at it. I'm not very good at it. I don't have to do it. I'm off the hook. Okay. It's good for some. It's great if it happens, but maybe not for me. Unfortunately, those aren't the other only times that hospitality is mentioned in the Bible, because in these verses, you can see that the emphasis is slightly different. In Romans, practice hospitality. Hebrews, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. The verses that Matt read to us, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And also 3 John, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people. So hospitality is actually commanded as well as commended. So it's not just for a select few, it's actually all of us. We are all commanded to do it. Interesting, it's not in that list, those lists of gifts that are in Romans and Corinthians, that some people have this gift, other people have that gift. No, we're all told we have to do it. Now, obviously, some people do have a gift of hospitality. They do a particularly good job of welcoming others into their home, cooking, caring for them, maybe having them to stay overnight, where other people find it more difficult. You may have heard this definition of hospitality, which is making people feel at home when you wish they were. And that may be the way that you feel about it. But now, however naturally gifted we are at hospitality, we all need to be doing it. I was trying to think of another example, and I wondered if it's a bit like singing. I might be a really bad singer. I might be completely tone deaf, but the Bible still tells me that I need to sing praises to God, whether I'm naturally musical or not. So perhaps hospitality is a bit like that. But my aim this morning isn't to make us feel bad that we're not having 20 people back to lunch today. There's a lot of hospitality that's always going, already going on at Kendall Road. Lots of people who are really good at it, which is fantastic. But how could we get even better? And why should we? Are there things that stop us from showing hospitality to others? Are there certain barriers, obstacles that prevent us from doing it? I just came up with a few. I'm sure you've got others that you could say, actually, this is what I find difficult. This is maybe why I don't do it. So cooking, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Our circumstances, nerves, shyness, privacy, those sort of go together. The time and the money involved. The embarrassment, possibly, of thinking, actually, I don't feel comfortable inviting people into my home. We're going to try and deal with some of these this morning. But we're going to start off with what I think is the first and biggest barrier. And I want us to realise that it's not all about the food. For lots of us, the thought of cooking a meal for somebody is absolutely terrifying. And our society really puts the pressure on, doesn't it? The huge number of TV chefs with their own cookery shows selling hospitality to us as an amazing lifestyle, encouraging you to turn your home into like a little restaurant. So what was once a family meal now becomes fine dining. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a delicious meal for people and wanting to do it really well. That's great, and some people have that gift. But there is a danger that it can become a bit of a performance art. And in focusing on the food, we miss the point. Now, of all the TV chefs, you might have your own favourites. I've got my favourites. But this woman is the one who intimidates me the most. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but when I see her on the TV, her life seems to be so perfect. She's got this amazing, amazing kitchen. And Nigella is just, she's just incredible. Is anybody here a fan of the royal family? You remember the, okay. I'm not sure if you're talking about the same royal family as me. I'm a fan of this royal family. And there's a brilliant episode, a Christmas episode of the royal family, where Denise, have you seen it? Denise cooks Christmas dinner for everybody. And the thing is, Denise can't cook to save her life. She's dreadful. She and Dave can't even defrost the turkey safely. They've got it in front of the electric bar fire. And at one point, he's got it in the bath with him while he's shaking. It's really not. And the whole thing is a complete disaster. And it ends up when she's sobbing in the kitchen, saying these memorable words, I just wanted it to be like Nigella. And some of us feel a bit like that. We don't want to offer hospitality because we think we're not good at cooking. We've been to other people's homes. We've been served amazing meals, maybe. We think, gosh, that's what I'm up against. I can't compete with that. It's not my gift. And then, if we are brave enough to invite people around, perhaps we put ourselves under too much pressure. But when the writers of the New Testament talk about hospitality, I don't think they're talking about fine dining. I have something different in mind. These verses from 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. So the challenge to us is not so much are we sitting down and having meals with people, sharing food, but are we sharing our lives with one another? The meal, the sandwich, the cup of tea, it's just background really. Jesus demonstrates this perfectly. He spends a lot of time eating and drinking with people, so much so that he gets a bit of a reputation for it. One writer points out in some parts of Luke's gospel, Jesus is either on his way to a meal, having a meal, or coming from a meal. He eats with the tax collectors and sinners. He eats at Simon's, the Pharisee's house. He eats with his disciples. But in all of these, what they actually eat isn't mentioned. The only time the food is mentioned is when it's important. So the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000, it's important to mention how many bread and fish there were so we understand this was an amazing miracle. The Last Supper, need to mention the bread and wine because they have significance. The rest of the time, the food isn't mentioned at all. Think about Zacchaeus. Jesus invites himself round and Zacchaeus welcomes him gladly, but we've no idea what they ate. You don't get the master chef voiceover saying, Zacchaeus has served baked salmon on a bed of rocket with a balsamic vinegar. And nothing like that, because the food isn't the point. The point is sitting down together, talking about the things that matter, about life, about faith, and about salvation. Now, you don't need to offer a meal, even, to show hospitality. It could just be having a cup of tea with someone. Some friends were telling me about an older lady in their church who lives on her own. She's not able to cook for other people, but she and a friend, every fortnight, they go to each other's houses, they have a cup of tea, they eat cake, and they read the Bible together. That's hospitality, isn't it? That's sharing life together. It can be as simple as that. And when I spoke about hospitality at our previous church in Burnham, one lady came up to me afterwards and she said, so I could just invite somebody around for a crisp sandwich? And I said, yes. Invite them around for a crisp sandwich, they'd be delighted. I mean, when did you last have a decent crisp sandwich? And by the way, you can Google the best crisp sandwich. There is advice on the best bread, what flavour crisps, whether to use butter or not. But absolutely, it can be as straightforward as that. So I'm not saying that we all need to have 10 people back to lunch today. That would send you into panic. But maybe our homes can be places where we can show love for others. If we believe that everything that we have is a gift from God, to be held very lightly, then that includes our homes, using them for his glory. The early Christians actually met in one another's homes. That's where church happened. And their church meetings were shared meals. It wasn't like we have lunch afterwards sometimes. Church and lunch, the service was all in one section together. And I wonder whether we in the 21st century, we have such an elevated view of our homes that we see them as some sort of refuge from the wider world. That old cliche of the Englishman's home is his castle is perhaps true. And maybe this is one of those places where our culture has moulded us and we need to be reshaped by God's word. Perhaps we should not be so precious about our homes and instead see them as places where we can glorify God. We can worship him by inviting others in. Now, I know that for some of us, inviting others into our home is difficult. You may share your home with somebody who isn't a Christian, or you may simply have a room where there isn't space for somebody else to sit. The challenge, I think, is for us to be creative and think of maybe other ways that we can show hospitality. Perhaps you can invite somebody out for coffee. I think it's all about inviting somebody onto your territory, and that may be your home, or it may be come with me to a coffee shop. Last year, Jill and Abby said, everybody, we're all going for a picnic in the forest. Let's go. That sort of thing, being creative, is a great way of sharing lives with one another. But it's a huge challenge to share our lives, isn't it? Some of us are shy, private people, and we may be a little bit fearful of opening up to others, either in terms of inviting them to our houses or inviting them into our lives. But some of us, it will be a big step out of our comfort zone in order to obey this commandment. But as with everything that God asks us to do, he promises that he will equip us and help us as we seek to obey him. So first of all, it's not all about the food. The second thing I want to talk about is that hospitality should be inclusive. We talked earlier about some of the best experiences that we've had, and I didn't want to let this opportunity go by without showing you this photo. This is hospitality that I enjoyed a few years ago at Villa Park when Aston Villa played Liverpool, and yes, Liverpool won, by the way. This is hospitality with a capital H. Champagne on arrival, four courses in an exclusive box, all paid for by my friend's business. What you can't see is the Villa fans were just the other side of that piece of glass, and we had to be very careful when we celebrated the goals that we didn't shout too loudly when Liverpool scored, because I don't think we'd have been very popular. Now, I'd be lying if I told you the food wasn't great, because it was. It was amazing. We were waited on. We didn't have to queue at half-time for pies, because that's when the cheese board arrived. It was incredible, but it wasn't inclusive. It was for a select few. Let me give you a contrasting example. Growing up, I had a friend who was one of five children, and I spent a lot of time at her house. Now, I don't know if you ever did this as a kid. Did you ever hang around waiting to hear those lovely words, "Would you like to stay for tea?" I'll stay for tea, on the phone to Mum straight away. "Mum, they've invited me to stay for tea." Because home for me, my parents were much older. It was just me and them, and meal times were dull. Mum was a dreadful cook. And so I had this chance to be in this family and welcomed around their table. And so at the Rag family tea was me and seven other people. And there was laughter and there was fun. I don't remember the food. I don't remember what they cooked. All I remember is that sense of belonging, the fact that an extra place at the table was laid for me and I was included. So that experience beats Villa Park, hands down. Fair enough, the food and drink were better at Villa Park, but at the family meal, I was included. I was made welcome. The author Mary Douglas writes that in all cultures, meals represent boundary markers between different levels of intimacy and acceptance. It's a sign of friendship, that removing the barriers between different groups of people. The Pharisees had all sorts of rules about who you could eat with, but who does Jesus eat with? He eats with the marginalised, the tax collectors and sinners, and he gets criticised for it. He was showing that those cultural barriers were being removed. And there's something very special about sharing food with someone. At Villa Park, we were in our exclusive box, with the riffraff kept on the outside. At the Rags house, the riffraff, me, was welcomed in. So if we go away today thinking that hospitality is just about having your church friends around for a meal after church on a Sunday or meet them up for coffee, then we've misunderstood it. If hospitality is inclusive, we should be welcoming those who are not yet our friends and those who are not yet part of our church family. Because the word for hospitality, the Greek word philoxenia, is actually a combination of two words, philos meaning affection and xenos meaning stranger. So affection towards strangers. Now, in case the alarm bells are going off and you're thinking, I'm not inviting complete strangers into my house, there are different ways that we can put this into practice. It may mean that instead of having your church friends around for a meal, you can invite people from church you don't know so well, or people who are new to the church, perhaps people who are on their own. If you're a couple or a family, don't just invite other couples and other families. Outside of church, if new neighbours move into your street, how can we show hospitality to them? How about our work colleagues? There's lots of this going on in Gloucester. You think about Gloucester City Mission, caring for people. You think about the World Cafe, how churches in Gloucester are caring for the stranger, the outsider, and showing hospitality. I think we need to really pray about that because it's a difficult area and we obviously need wisdom of how we put that into practice. I also want us to think a little bit about us as a church. I mentioned earlier the example of Steve and I going to a church where everybody's greeting one another and being very warm but didn't speak to us. And I must admit, I have had that experience several times. Now just say, if any of you have been on holiday and you've not felt particularly welcomed in a church, you know what that feels like. And sometimes I think that we forget what it feels like to be the outsider. I've often come back to my home church being more determined that we should do this well. And I think at Kendal Road we are pretty good, and actually we've got some people who are excellent at welcoming people. I think there might be a danger for some of us that we leave it to them a little bit, so we need to be careful with that. But let's just think about what it's like being a visitor. And if you're a visitor here today, I hope you've been made welcome. I hope that people have spoken to you. But do we sometimes assume that they know the ropes? That they know, if they've got children, that do they know what the age groups mean? Do we give them enough information when they arrive? Do we speak to them before the service starts? I think that's really key. Steve and I were in a church last summer. Well, we got there early. We sat there for about 10 minutes before the service. Nobody spoke to us. And then during the whole service, nobody spoke to us, but that would be normal. And then basically by the time the service had closed, we had no inclination to go for tea and coffee, so we went to the coffee shop next door. I think maybe we're really bad and we should have made more of an effort afterwards. But having sat there for that 10 minutes, which seemed like a really long time before the service, and nobody come up to us, we had kind of like lost the inclination to be friendly, and so we went elsewhere. That time before the service is really important, particularly if people have got children who might be nervous about going to the kids' groups. And actually, I think it's great if we can spend that time. So other challenges. Could we maybe, this is controversial here, sit in a different place each week? Could we maybe sit with different people each week? I know that you might like your spot because that's where you can see the screen. That's absolutely fine. But I've also been in a church where we had pews and they marked their seats with a cushion. And if somebody else sat in their seat, they'd ask them to move. That happened before we got there, thankfully. But you do hear horror stories, and that's not welcoming, is it? Who do we talk to before and after the service? Do we head for our friends? Do we even pray about who we might talk to? Do we ask God to lead us to talk to the people that he wants us to? And I think another challenge about this is, are we just good at welcoming people who are like us? If people fit the profile, they'll probably slot in quite nicely. If they're a little bit different, in whatever way, I'll leave you interpret that as you like, would they fit in here? That, I think, is a challenge for us. As we've said, some of us will find hospitality harder than others. Some of us will be naturally gifted. Others will find it difficult, but we are all commanded to do it. The question for each one of us is, what does it look like in my situation? There are a few things that we can do. One of the things that God has been challenging me about recently is just being friendly. Steve and I went to some seminars at Word Live on evangelism, and the thing that came out most of all was be friendly. Talk to people. And when I've been thinking about hospitality, the thing that's come out is be friendly. I think there's an overlap naturally between hospitality and evangelism, sharing Jesus with others. That is just being friendly. And we may need to ask God to help us with that. Challenge we've found when we've been walking the Thames path during Steve's sabbatical. People who are out on a walk, particularly with dogs, are very, very friendly people. If you're a dog walker, you seem to be very good at saying hello to people. But it's challenged me when I'm out and about in Gloucester, do I make eye contact with people? Am I friendly? You might get some dodgy looks. Depends where it is you're walking. You need to have wisdom as well. If you're a single woman on your own, just be a bit careful. But naturally being friendly, I think, is something that I could perhaps work on. We need to get to know people better, don't we? We need to share lives with them. That's people outside of church and inside of church. Pay attention to them, listen to them. Let's not just talk about ourselves all the time. Showing an interest in people. And of course, if you're able to, make meals a priority. Invite someone for a meal if you can and serve them. Use meal times to build relationships and talk about things that really matter. Let's move from just the shallow conversation to maybe going deeper. Let's be creative. There are lots of different ideas. I came up with just a bunch of things that we could possibly do here. I mentioned the picnics. You'll see that I've got plan your Sundays and I've also got be spontaneous. I think there's a place for both. And one of the things that Steve and I do is we sit down and we actually plan which Sundays we're going to have people round so that it happens. Because basically, if you don't make some sort of plan, chances are it's not going to happen. Also, though, I think there was a time for thinking, actually, I've just realised that this person's on their own today, so I'm going to say, do you want to come around after church? that may mean that you need to get in that frame of mind of doing a few extra roast potatoes or buying an extra packet of crisps, whatever. Okay, so being spontaneous and thinking, okay, we haven't got much in, but rather than you be on your own, do you want to come round? I'm very much into watching football and having food with people, but there are other common interests. Apparently, some people like Strictly and Bake Off, both of which are coming soon. So why not have a launch evening with other people that like Strictly or Bake Off and have some food together, share life together? Lots of different examples. You've probably got others that you could suggest as well. It's about finding what fits for you in your circumstances and being creative and asking God to help you. If you're still feeling unsure about it, though, if the thought of sharing your life more with others fills you with dread or just makes you feel uncomfortable, let's consider some of the things that we've been talking about as Matt has led us. Let's consider the message of the gospel. When we show hospitality to others, we are reflecting something of the nature of God, who has shown incredible hospitality to us in Jesus. He has welcomed us, hasn't he, into his family. These are some verses that you're probably aware of from Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to read them, but I'd like you to view them, as it were, through the lens of hospitality and to think about how God has shown hospitality to us. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who were Gentiles by birth, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. This is what God has done for us. We were far away from him. We were foreigners and strangers, but now we're fellow citizens, members of his household. We're part of the family. Remember that idea of being welcomed round the family table. That's what God has done for us. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the kingdom of heaven is described as a banquet. And that's one of my favourite images of heaven, a big feast. How is this possible? Only through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus. God has made this possible. So if we're struggling with the idea of making that sacrifice, stepping out of our comfort zone to show hospitality to others, we should reflect and consider that that is exactly what God has done to us on a way, way bigger scale. And as grateful people, we should be reflecting the attitude and the behaviour of our Heavenly Father. Tim Chester, just to end off, puts it very well. He says, this is from a book called Meals with Jesus, hospitality will lead to collateral damage. Food will be spilt on your carpet. You will be left with clearing up. Your pantry may be decimated. But remember that God is welcoming you into his home through the blood of his own Son. The hospitality of God, embodied in the table fellowship of Jesus, is a celebration and a sign of his grace and generosity. And we are to imitate that generosity. There's a song that Stuart Townend wrote that I don't think we know very well, but it's a song called Vagabonds. And he wrote it to challenge the church and encourage us in our inclusiveness. And I'll just read some of the words to you. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs. Winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you travellers, tired from the journey. Come wait a while, stay a while, welcomed you'll be. Come all you questioners looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen and come all you broken. Find strength for your body and food for your soul. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, it's so good for us to be reminded again of what you have done for us in Jesus. We who are far away have been brought near because of the blood of Christ. Nothing that we have done can merit that favour with you. It's all your work. We thank you, Lord, that we were once strangers and aliens, but now we are your people if we have trusted in Jesus. You have welcomed us into your household. Father, thank you that you are such a loving, generous host, that you lavish us with so many blessings, that you give us your Holy Spirit who is with us. And we would ask, Lord, that you would help each one of us to examine our hearts and consider what we might do to extend some of that hospitality to others, both to those within the church and those on the outside. And Lord, where we find it difficult, we pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just close the door on that thought, but that we would ask for your help. Thank you, Lord, that you promise to do far more than we ever ask and imagine. So, Father, help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us to be more like Jesus, the friend of sinners, who sat down and ate with the riffraff, and he welcomed them, and they saw something in him that was radically different. Pray that we might reflect that more, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just hand back to Matt as we close.